I'm Rhea Levy, here with Lillian Robinson to talk with her for an oral history project titled Voices from the African Diaspora, the Black Experience of Bethlehem, PA, as part of the Lehigh Valley Engaged Humanities Consortium. We are here at the Bethlehem Area Public Library on Monday, June 4th, 2019. Lillian Robinson, thank you for your willingness to speak with me today.
You're welcome.
Can you please spell and state your full name?
My first name is Lillian, L-I-L-L-I-A-N, middle name June, J-U-N-E-R-O, excuse me, Robinson, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N.
And could you please tell us your date of birth?
July 28, 1962.
Thank you. Lillian, where were you born?
I was born in Easton, Pennsylvania.
And so you were born in Easton, Pennsylvania. What year did your family move here to Bethlehem?
My family moved here to Bethlehem in 1920. I'm not really sure like the exact date.
That's okay.
But my grandfather had gotten word about jobs here, of course. I mean, the economic migration was very real based on life, lifestyle, family commitment, and just perseverance. So they moved here to Bethlehem. And I think a couple years later, he worked at the steel, of course, because they needed many people for production. And okay. So he worked there.
May I interrupt you for a second? Could you please tell me your grandfather's name?
Edward Johnson.
Okay. And you can continue with the Bethlehem part of what you were just talking about.
He and my grandmother, Lilia Childs Johnson, had 10 children. Three of them didn't survive beyond a childhood. One of my uncles drowned in the Lehigh Canal.
What's your uncle's name?
His name, God bless his soul, James Johnson. He was swimming on the last day of school, 1930. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't allowed, of course, to swim in the public pool
mm-hmm.
with his friends. So mm-hmm. he and another group went to the canal
mm-hmm.
and he was overcome by some current. And his soul was taken. That was in June of 1930. My grandmother hyper-focused on the rest of her children, my mother being one of them. My mother, Marguerite Johnson Robinson, was born here, educated here, but we moved later to Easton when she met my father, Albert Lewis Robinson. 1959, my family moved. They originally settled here in Bethlehem,
mm-hmm.
but were my father's family roots were in Easton, so mm-hmm. they followed those roots to Easton.
And what's your father's name?
Albert Lewis Robinson.
And do you have any knowledge, any more knowledge about your grandfather, what he did besides working at Bethlehem Steel? And why do you think they moved to a small town as opposed to someplace like New York or Chicago like they normally?
I think it was based on economics.
Mm-hmm.
There were jobs here. Bethlehem Steel had a great, great need
mm-hmm.
for men to work at that time. So the call, you know, went out, I guess, all over the country. And a lot of men, of course, answered that call. My grandfather was one of them. My uncles and my aunt Lillian, as it turns out, did leave Bethlehem and went to the big city,
mm-hmm.
to Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they resided all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But they were educated here, born here in Bethlehem, graduated Liberty High School, and then they left and lived in Philadelphia. But my grandfather was also a Baptist minister who ministered at First Baptist Church. I think the original church was on, don't quote me,
mm-hmm.
Broadway, I believe. It was, you know, quite some time before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
But he was minister there, I think until, 1950, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at that time in Bethlehem, the migration was coming from Europe. A lot of Europeans were coming to Bethlehem, Portuguese, Eastern Europeans, Welsh, thus all the churches on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
Each church represent an ethnic group that came from Europe. But meanwhile, there was also a migration that came from the south as well.
Right. So your grandparents moved, where from where exactly in the south did they move from to Bethlehem?
My grandfather was born in Lynchburg, Virginia, to my great-grandmother. Her name was Amanda. She was 12 years old when the Emancipation Proclamation was signed into law. So she was indeed born a slave,
mm-hmm.
if you would. And of course, she didn't make the migration north.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she settled in Virginia. And my grandfather, you know, made sure she had provisions,
mm-hmm.
For the rest of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he, my grandfather's brother, Ollie, also came some years later. But I think Ollie got into some trouble. There was some trouble. It was never really talked about openly.
Here in Bethlehem?
Here in Bethlehem. There were mm-hmm. some problems with someone on a trolley. I'm not really sure what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So Ollie had to seek alternative means.
Mm-hmm. So did he leave Bethlehem?
He did leave Bethlehem. I think he settled in Newark,
mm-hmm.
New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me where exactly your grandparents lived in when they moved to Bethlehem?
They lived on East 3rd Street, across from, I believe those homes aren't there anymore, across from what was then the Bethlehem Steel offices.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they resided.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, I'm sorry.
His church was, of course, up on Broadway.
Mm-hmm. Did your mom ever share stories with you about your father's experience working at Bethlehem Steel?
My father?
Your grandfather, I'm sorry.
She did. She said, I think there was, while he was working there, there was a strike.
Okay.
And, you know, my grandfather was always preaching the word. So I guess at that time, you know, the men of Bethlehem Steel became unsettled, and you know, unsettled men do sometimes violent things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was some disturbances around Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
These men were out of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to feed their families. So they called my grandfather to come and try to talk to these men to settle, you know, because they were pretty amped up about, you know, not being able to provide for their families.
Right.
But
I'm sorry. Did he speak to the African Americans of Bethlehem, or did he speak to all the men of Bethlehem? Why did they call him? You know, and again, to your knowledge.
Well, because I think they knew he was a peaceful man, and
mm-hmm.
they wanted to bring peace to these men that were causing some, I think they were turning cars over. I mean, there was some.
And were they black or white, or were they both?
I think they were the white personnel.
Yeah, and why do you think they would call your father, who at the time was considered a colored person?
Right. But I think they had enough respect for him to know that he might be able to try and settle these men in some level, mm-hmm. you know, just based on who he was. Mm-hmm. And they knew he was a minister. So, they, you know, he wasn't going to rally the men against, you know, the company.
Mm-hmm.
So my grandfather didn't respond to this call because there were some, you know, labor things in place that, I guess there were scabs that tried to get in, and mm-hmm. my grandfather didn't want to be in, you know, in the middle of that, any mm-hmm. kind of labor disruptions.
Mm-hmm. What did he do while he was there?
I'm not really sure, but, you know, I think he talked about some form of, it wasn't safe. Whatever he was doing, mm-hmm. I'm sure it was before OSHA mm-hmm. set up guidelines and standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they probably put black people in more unsafe conditions, mm-hmm. you know, as far as production. I'm sure they did.
Okay. Tell me about your grandfather as the minister, as far as you can, you know, stories that you probably might have heard. Was he a deacon? What did he do at Second Baptist?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure how mm-hmm. he came into that role. Obviously, there might, you know, was a void
mm-hmm.
in the ministry. I mean, at that time, there weren't that many black Baptists here. I mean, there were, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
The migration was coming from the South.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother played the piano in the church, I know. And it was a small congregation.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, again, that was before I was born.
Right.
And it really wasn't, you know, much talk after it, mm-hmm. After, you know, I came, I knew.
To your recollection, do you know if the church started at someone's home or did they buy a building? To your recollection,
I have no recollection of that. Mm-hmm. The only recollection I do have is the church, again, on Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only church I know that where he ministered.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it started in anyone's home. It might have mm-hmm. very well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go on to your parents, your mom in particular, and what schools did she attend here in Bethlehem?
She attended Liberty High School.
Mm-hmm.
She graduated in 1945. At the time, she graduated with 5 blacks. My Aunt June was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Watson, L. Ray Johnston. It's funny, I know them.
I know.
It was a handful, if you would. But she spoke very fondly of those years. I mean, she was in high school during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And she just remembers, of course, I'm sure, you know, the world was changing.
Mm-hmm.
Some of her classmates left and never came back.
Mm-hmm. You mean the 5 blacks that,
They were good.
They stayed?
They were okay.
Oh, okay.
But like people that she knew that she was in her formative school
uh-huh.
that were either drafted or volunteered for the war.
Mm-hmm.
But she always spoke very fondly of those years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they weren't, you know, easy. But she had a very tight knit group of people she hung out with.
Mm-hmm.
For most of her life, she was Eastern Star. I know that.
Oh, she was. Okay.
She was indeed.
And when she graduated from high school, what did she do after that?
She worked in the university club. I'm not really sure where that was. She talked about it with a woman named, she called her. My mother always gave people a pronoun. You know. It was Mrs. Clark. I'm not really sure her first name.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about Mrs. Clark all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She's very fond of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, you know, she went to my grandfather's church, and they did, you know, some, I think it might have been Lehigh professionals that were at this university club.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm unsure, but from listening to her speak about it, that's what it sounds like,
mm-hmm.
what it was.
How long did she, was she there?
I think until she met my father.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, 45, she might have, to maybe 1956-ish.
And did she belong to Second Baptist?
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, yeah. She played the piano.
Okay, yeah, she did, okay. And so you said she had fond memories of your, she, you know, memories as far as school was concerned. How did she tell you stories of any other kind of stories about her growing up here in Bethlehem?
Well, I
that you can recall.
Yeah, of course. So I think mainly because she talked very fondly about her childhood and just being at home with her family and how beautiful it was because they were very close. And like I said, when my grandmother lost her children,
mm-hmm.
she became very hyper-focused on the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gave them gifts and jewels, I think, tools, if you would,
mm-hmm.
To live. But I think she talked about the simplicity of life
mm-hmm.
In that era.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I think she understood at the time, she didn't have many choices, many opportunities as far as, you know, furthering your, I mean, I guess she could have broadened her horizons, but in my mind, it really wasn't afforded to her at that time.
So do you think that they just stayed within the Black community and didn't venture out? So their main focus, the reason why she looked at life as, you know, being full and enjoying life in Bethlehem, was it because it was just in their circle?
I think so.
And do you think that she ventured out of that circle at any time, whereas, she, you know, she felt uncomfortable? Have you heard stories?
No, not at all. My mother's very confident. She was a people person. I don't think she felt any kind of way at any time in her life. She was very confident woman.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was very, how do I say this? She was very fashionable, and she was very... she liked to get dressed up a lot
mm-hmm.
and just be out in public and talking to people and being very social. That was my mother,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
She never felt as though she couldn't go anywhere because, you know, she was Black. Two, she was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
She never felt that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She always felt, well, this is her world too, you know. My grandfather always said to her, life is a banquet and everyone is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's what the credo she lived by.
Oh, okay. So tell me, why do you think that she moved to Easton?
She met my father.
And what's your father's name?
Albert Lewis Robinson. She met him and, you know, she fell in love, you know, that was the love of her life. So
mm-hmm.
she followed him.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her that once. I'm like, why did we move here?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, I wanted to be with your father. Your father was here.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a young widow.
She was a young widow?
Yes. They were only married, I think, 11 or 12. I mean, she was relatively... She was a 39-year-old widow with
mm-hmm.
five children. And so she had to, you know, kind of reinvent herself. And
mm-hmm.
she did.
And you don't think that she ever wanted to return to Bethlehem after she became widow?
She never talked about it, although she loved Bethlehem. She absolutely loved her home. Because I remember when she passed, I cleaned out some of her things. And I saw countless newspaper articles about Bethlehem and like scrapbooks that I didn't even realize she kept that about Bethlehem and about, of course, the steel and the people,
mm-hmm.
people at the CVA. She talked about the CVA.
What's the CVA?
Colored Voters Association.
Tom,
imagine that.
Tom, do you have any knowledge of any stories that she shared about that?
I don't know how involved she was, because I think when the CVA was formed, she had already started her family. That might have been like pre-civil rights era.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure, you know, the timing on that.
So was this an organization that she was involved in, or she didn't get a chance, like you said?
I don't know if she was an actual member,
mm-hmm.
but I know she did support it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, she supported a lot of civil rights efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she was an NAACP member.
That's what I was about to ask you.
Indeed.
She was an NAACP
yes.
member?
Yes.
Did she play any major role as being a member?
No, she was just always an active member.
Mm-hmm. Did she tell you stories about things that the NAACP did at that time?
There were some, you know, those were changing times.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember like little instances where, you know, there might have been African Americans in our community in Easton that got in some trouble, and of course they were, you know, maybe even falsely accused of some things or like brought in on some trumped up charges of you know, disobedience, where it might not have been 100% true, or
mm-hmm.
you know, there were some fallacies within the stories of the Easton Police Department. So the NAACP would get involved,
mm-hmm.
and my mother was always very active in showing her support.
Mm-hmm. How long was she a member, do you know?
I think until she passed. She always kept, you know, on the ranks,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was very, you know, adamant about being involved with the NAACP.
And was it the NAACP in Bethlehem or Easton? Or
she might have started here
mm-hmm.
in Bethlehem,
mm-hmm.
but I know she was definitely an Easton member.
Right. Working on this project, I see a lot of overlap with people either in Easton or Allentown, and even though they live in these places, they still have, like for example, one of the lodges, the Elk Lodge, they still have their focus here in Bethlehem.
Right.
But a lot of the members are living in Allentown. Did your mom come back, even though she got married, moved to Easton, did she come back to Bethlehem a lot to be involved in the church, in the different organizations and so
forth? She did. Of course, my mother would attend the, you know, yearly banquets that they had here in Bethlehem. And she would also attend the Elks community events. I can remember attending parades of some sort when I was very young. She always was very connected to Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't like she left and like never turned back.
Right.
She constantly turned back.
Mm-hmm. So did she remain within the church, or did she move? When she moved, she decided to join another church.
It's funny you say that, because when she moved to Easton, she suddenly, I guess it was an epiphany. You know, sometime life comes to you and you don't even see it coming. And she had an epiphany that she needed to leave the Baptist church and join the Catholic church.
Mm.
So, of course, we followed,
mm-hmm.
you know, we were children.
Mm-hmm.
So we all, of course, were baptized Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've spoken a lot, I've been trying to get a lot of information about your mom and your grandparents, and despite this being a Bethlehem-focused project, I still want to ask you about yourself. Could you tell us about yourself? Like, for example, where did you go to school in Easton? What schools did you attend in Easton?
I attended Easton Catholic Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
And then I attended St. Anthony's, St. Joseph's, St. Bernard's. I attended all the Catholic schools in Easton, I believe. But then the last 2 years, I went to Easton High School, public school.
Mm-hmm.
Then after high school, I enlisted in the Army, in the U.S. Army. Very short time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love the Army. And then after that, I went to Richard Allen University in Columbia, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back, and I, you know, I wanted to be, you know, in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
To experience the richness and the culture of New York City.
So when you graduated from college, you moved to New York City?
No, I was like off and on.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cousin there. She was living in Harlem,
mm-hmm.
on East 112th Street. And, you know, she had just recently moved back from Los Angeles. She had moved to Los Angeles, then she moved back to New York. And she was like, you know, cuz, come.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
Mm-hmm.
But she, you know, she yeah, that, we had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We used to run around to all those dance clubs around New York City, downtown.
Uh-huh.
You know, that was our thing.
Oh, okay.
At the time.
So,
at the time.
Were you ever inquisitive about finding out more about your mom's root here in Bethlehem?
Yes, I would ask her about you know, her childhood and what made it so. She talked about it in a pure sense. But I think it was just based on the fact that her mother and father, of course, were a unit and came from a very strong family structure.
Mm-hmm.
Based on religion,
mm-hmm.
they was the basis of, you know, their foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what made it really a good thing for her.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather served in the Army. He served in the Spanish-American War.
Okay. But, so what I want to get you as an individual, were you inquisitive about knowing about Bethlehem? You as an individual, because your mom was born here.
Indeed, I was. I would just ask her a question. I didn't, you know, the funny thing, even like today, I mean, sometimes I would drive here to Bethlehem,
uh-huh.
and I'm like, wow, where am I? I don't really know Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
I think I should. I mean, it is indeed in the valley, but I don't really know Bethlehem in that respect.
Did
like, I knew where she lived, my mother lived, mm-hmm. on East 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm. But didn't your parents, your mom in particular, brought you here? At some point?
Well, we used to come back to see my grandparents.
Okay. All right.
They lived, I was so young. They lived in the Heights. I don't even know where the Heights is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure where that, what area that is.
Mm-hmm. But you were rather young when they, so, but
very
how,
young.
How
because
about
my
as a
father.
Teenager? How about as a teenager? Did you ever venture over here to Bethlehem to...
No.
No?
Well, sometime, of course, Lehigh would have parties. I would come with my friends, you
mm-hmm,
know,
mm-hmm.
based on just some social events. And, of course, mm-hmm. my mother, she would bring us to, if the CBA had an event,
mm-hmm.
Or if the Elks had an event, the NAACP,
mm-hmm.
we were here.
Mm-hmm.
But it was strictly based on, like, some social event or some community event that they were giving.
Right.
That she wanted to be a part of, and
mm-hmm.
she wanted us to be a part of as well.
Mm-hmm. Could we just like I was saying before, I'm gonna concentrate on you. You've told us about your family, your background, and so forth. So let's you've been telling me about yourself and the schools that you have attended. And do you have siblings?
I do. I am number four in line of five. I have two brothers and two additional sisters.
And what are their names?
Oldest is Albert Mark. Second is Lucille Kim. Third, no, Timothy Noel. Fourth, Lillian June. And the baby is Amy Sue Robinson.
And are you married?
No, ma'am.
Do you have kids?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about social life as a teen or as a young adult growing up in Easton. What was social life within the black
A
community?
teen?
Yeah, teenager.
Let's see, that would have been high school. I was a teen in the disco era.
Yes.
So trust me, we, my friends and I hung out with artists at the time, and we would get ourselves, we would run into New York City and express ourselves, trust me. But the teen, like the,
A
are you talking about like
teenager. As a teen,
activities in?
as a teenager, you were you was the central focus of social life around the church, around the organizations? What was social life like for you and your fam, for you and your siblings, as far as events and so forth? Did you go to dances, and did it have to be a church dance, or did it have to?
I mean, we're Catholic, but we're not super Catholic. I mean, we would definitely involve ourselves with activities around the valley. And then my mother would also, I think she wanted us to give us a sense of black culture. She would involve us in cultural things outside of the community because there weren't a lot of black culture here in the valley. So we would, you know, attend events in Philadelphia or in New York City or wherever the event, you know, was taking place. Mostly theater. That's where I fell in love with theater. When I was very young, I saw, I think I was 11 years old when I first saw The Wiz on stage. And I can remember being so, it literally took my breath because I remember I wasn't breathing, like, because I didn't want to miss any production, stage production. And I remember how powerful Stephanie Mills, shout out to Stephanie Mills, how powerful her performance was. And, you know, like, and then of course I saw, you know, of course other shows, because at the time it was a culture of black theater. It was Bubbly and Brown Sugar. It was Sophisticated Ladies. These were black shows, and my mother made sure that we saw all of these shows to give us a sense of who we were, who we are.
So that's great. So that you experience the culture outside of the Lehigh Valley
Yes, I mean,
area.
don't get me wrong, there were cultural, African American cultural things that were going on, but of course, more were happening, of course, in urban areas. And thank God, you know, we live in an area where it's not too far reaching. It's not too far, you know, to get in a car and go to New York City, go to Philadelphia, go to Washington, D.C., for that fact.
What's the name of the Catholic church that you attended, that your family attended?
St. Bernard's
And
at the time.
was it a interracial congregation?
You know, there was just a, and what do you mean by that? Was it?
Was it black and white?
We were the blackest. They were white. They still are. There was just a couple of families. Now it's a little more. Our priests are African. They're from east, the east, from Uganda.
Currently?
Currently. Currently.
And back then?
Back then, no. There used to be a visiting priest from Nigeria, I can remember. But no, there's only a couple of black families that are in our parish. I can remember one time where the diocese newspaper called me. I'm not even sure where they got my name or phone number. But they were doing a story on Black Catholics, and they wanted my input. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. They wanted to know if I felt any kind of resistance when I came to Mass. Did anyone, you know, look at me, you know, sideways when I sat in the pew?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember telling the reporter, I don't know. I don't really go for that. I attend Mass because I love the structure of the Mass. I feel the peace of Jesus Christ
mm-hmm.
in the celebration of the Mass. I don't care what... I can't put that on me as far as how other people feel about me being there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my problem. And if they do have a problem, it's theirs, not mine.